Can somebody open the door? There's so many reasons I can't really take it anymore. Stuck in, and I never seem to get away, but I'll hang on. Seasons change, but you don't ever. Oh, soon as I can see your face, I'm fine, I'm sure. I'm trying to find a way to get out. So can I open a window? Can somebody open the door? There's so many reasons I can't really take it anymore. Fuck this, I might leave the people telling me what I should do. Change, but you don't ever. Oh, trying to ignore the thought of wanting to, but every single time that I do, I'm like, could I open a window? Can somebody open the door? There's so many reasons I can't really take it anymore. No. Yeah,
see what the fuck, niggas feeling stuck, really feeling stuck. Like the middle caught on freeway pile up with semi trucks. Open door, but you can't. Try to run, but you pant. Out of breath, you can't vent, cause the AC acting up. Nah, really, it's something feeling dirty to me. At the roots like a tree, see, I just up and I leave. It ain't pertaining to me. I don't engage, I don't curve. They like, you get it? I'm like, yeah, and get the fuck out of her. See, I concur, I'm modest. I'm Tyler, I'm honest. I never bite my tongue, it's for the better. I promise, you stuck, then move because I'm running like silence. I knows they quiet like that last in silence.
There's so many reasons I can't barely take it anymore. No.
You're now tuned in with Off the Beam Path here on 101.9 CITR. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And for the next hour, you'll be with me. We are broadcasting from the unceded Musqueam, Coast Salish, Tsleil-Waututh territory here live from the most western part of the Lower Mainland, here from UBC's campus. We do this every week, 10 to 11. Here on 101.9. If you'd like to call in, the number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tune in. What we like to do here every week is, whether you're getting ready for bed, maybe you're, you know, maybe you're driving Uber, or, you know, you are just out because you just feel the way, you're just out for a drive. I don't know why you might be out for a drive with these gas prices, but I'm glad that you are here with me, because this is, you know, it's an expensive 60 minutes, I guess, if you were driving the whole time. Sorry I wasn't here last week. I took a little vacation. It was nice. It was nice. It was nice to be in some, like, weather. It's so hot, it makes you uncomfortable. Went to, yeah, just this, where I normally felt like I normally didn't feel. I went to to Mexico, and it was just absolutely hot. And so when I came back here yesterday. Obviously, I missed the show last week, but I came back here yesterday, and it didn't feel like if I felt when I left. If that makes sense, like the weather, I felt like, I mean, obviously it's daylight saving, so you come here and at least at 6 o'clock, 6:30, it's not getting dark outside. It's amazing. So it was nice to come back today. It feels as if spring is on its way, and I feel like spring here, summer is obviously the favorite, but spring is just, it feels good to start to be able to get outside, you know, and not feel like one. I mean, today was a little bit rainy, but, you know, it's to feel like you're not going to freeze, or you just have a little bit of hope, but not too much hope, because for the next week, it is going to be, while a little bit warm, with highs up into 10 degrees over the weekend, it's going to be rainy every day. I feel like, you know, we're back into late March, April, but, you know, April showers, you know, they bring. You guys can, you all can, you can sign off here. That was the sign that this show is going to go downhill from here, because we have a lot of stuff to talk about. I have a lot of good music. I had the fortune while I was off. What I like to do on vacation is just relax and, like, just listen to all the music that I had bookmarked for myself to listen to that I haven't got to. You know, I'm sure, like, you probably, like me, have all of those tabs that you keep tucked in, maybe on a special window that you want to get to and read, and you constantly adding things to those tabs, you know, but you never can find the time to read all of them. So on vacation, that's what I like to do, is I like to clear my tabs and just read all of the things that I've wanted to do for, like, the past few months, and then also listen to all the music. So I have lots of good music for you. Also, some really funny stories, but mostly good music, because the news is not as sad as it recently has been. I feel like over the past year or so, maybe a year and a half, I feel like every week I read something about some type of murder in the Lower Mainland. And just because we're not reading about it, obviously, in the news, doesn't mean it's not happening. But it just feels like maybe this week, maybe the editors were like, you know what, maybe we should ease off. It is spring break. So when we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about that. But you know there's a scam coming up. You know there's, I feel as if it's my like personal cultural insight that I believe in the strongest is in that we just live in an era of scams, and there's so many more scams that come out every day. I try to stay on top of them, because one of these times I'm going to be early on a scam, and that's really what it's all about. That's really why you're listening. So obviously I'll tell you that you're early on it. Check it out. Next song is by, I'm just going to let you listen to it. Tune in.
Looked into my eyes all the way across the Mississippi. Someone gotta keep me in the loop, please.
Back it off, Bean Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. Like I told you, I just got a lot of smooth music. That was Tory Mart with the Loop. You should check him out. Vancouver Island seniors lose $400,000 in lottery scam. A Nanaimo couple in their late 80s. Told they had won $18.5 million in a Mercedes-Benz in elaborate fraud. The police say this couple thought they won $18 million. They were told that they would have to pay an administrative fee in order to collect. Over the year, the police say the couple received official-looking documents and weekly calls from scammers telling them to pay taxes and fees through bank drafts. And it's crazy how in over, you know, just a little bit by little bit, somebody could drain $400,000 from somebody. Like, unbelievable. I mean, it happens all the time. Like, I feel like when I read scams like this, like, you're like, okay, you know, these are somebody's grandparents. And, you know, if you are millennial, this is the sad part. I've said this before to my friends, and it's sad. It's sad. So, you know, like, you have to think, like, you're millennial. You're like, okay, my grandparents are going to die, and that's how I'll get a house. Like, I have to make a blood sacrifice so that I can afford to buy a home, because that's like essentially what it is. Like, I feel like, you know, we're at a point. I was going to talk to about a story a little later where, so we, you know, this show, we talk about housing. So where housing has jumped over 25% here in BC to an average home price of $900,000. So jumped 20%. So there's, if you, like, it's really hard to just earn a way into being able to buy a home. Like, it's impossible. So you have to make a blood sacrifice. Like, oftentimes, you know, your parent or your grandparent has to die, leave you something so that you can then afford to own a home in our society. So there was somebody, I feel sorry for these old people, but I feel sorry, but they're in the late 80s, you know, like that. They don't have that much more time. But there was somebody in their family, potentially, I don't want to assume, somebody, you know, maybe some type of charitable cause that was waiting for these people to die and, you know, so that they could set them, so, you know, they could leave the legacy and set the foundation for their, you know, what's it called? What is rich dad, poor dad? For generational wealth, you know, there was somebody waiting for them and they gave it all to the scammers. Like, I feel like that's like a sitcom, you know, where this family is just upset. But obviously, you just upset that your family got scammed. But also, you're like, damn, I'd be upset. Especially because they could have just asked me, like, Issa, you know, like, Issa, have you ever, you know, have you ever heard of something like this? And I'd be like, ah, it's a scam. Sorry, y'all, loud in your ears. I'd be like, ah, I've seen this before. Like, this is exactly what I prepare for. I feel like sometimes, for me, one of my best skills is that it's like, hey, something about that doesn't sound right. I have a good, that doesn't sound right, sense. Doesn't look right, not so much, but doesn't sound right. I'm good at that. The next one is, you know, here we are on the side of the proletariat, you know, the common person, worker, particularly the people who serve the food and who have the keys. That's something that my mom taught me when I was a little kid growing up, is always be nice to the people who make the food and the people who have the keys. Because, you know, while, you know, people kissing up to their boss and, you know, brown nosing and being teacher's pet only can get you so far. The people who can really make the, you know, effect on your day are the people who make the food and have the keys. It's just great advice. I told it to my little cousin when he went to college, hopefully still using it. Anyways, there was a woman. This 27-year-old woman was charged with throwing hot coffee at a Tim Hortons employee. And I promise that no person at Tim Hortons who works at Tim Hortons, like, I don't even like Tim Hortons, but I've never been in there and met an employee that was unpleasant. And I'm not saying that those employees don't exist. I'm just saying that they don't care enough to be unpleasant. You know, I feel like we're at a point where we should know that. And if you are throwing hot coffee on a Tim Hortons employee, you clearly were served at the Tim Hortons. You know, that employee clearly served you. You know, they did what they could. You should give them a break. Throw coffee on somebody else. You know, like, I feel that oftentimes, you know, we understand that these crimes of assault, particularly of proximity, but these people and politicians and these ultra wealthy people are not that far away. Like, you could find them if you really wanted to. And before we jump in, it was just like, as I came back here, where Mexico, everybody in Mexico is masked up everywhere you go. Even in the park, the police are there making you be masked up. You go into the mall, masked up, take your temperature still. Still taking temperature, still hand sanitizer everywhere. Mexico is, let's just say, it's not how Donald Trump described it. I had a great time. I felt like I was telling a friend, I was never felt not safe. I'm sure, you know, me being literally the only black, I would say besides the people who I knew, the only black person in Mexico, and just generally, they're just like average, bigger than everybody. I guess, you know, like, not really something I had to worry about, but I went there. It felt fine. But they're all masked up. That's what the point of it. It was like, it wasn't even, but they didn't like check vaccine or anything like that. It was masked up everywhere. It's just very interesting because then they come back to Canada and there's no mask anywhere. Yeah, it was just interesting. Anyway, so no mask on the bus, but when I got on the bus, everybody had mask on. Listen, COVID is still, people still getting COVID and getting sick. Luckily in Vancouver, nobody died in the past week, but you don't want it to be you, you know, or maybe somebody, you know, so make sure you're still keeping people safe. When we get back, I got some more really good music, and I also have some more funny stories, because this I got two stories about five people in total who are living off the grid, and it is going great for maybe none of them. Let me get back.
A Tribe Called Red is the Hallucination with their new record, One More Saturday Night, featuring Javier Mighty, Tanya Tagak, and more, out now.
Back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. I want to hear, has anybody ever owed you money? Like money that you, maybe you didn't like need, you're not going to go broke if you don't get it back, but you know that they got it. Like, that's also what pisses me off. You know, when somebody owes me money, and not just like, I don't lend money that I don't anticipate not getting back ever again. You know, like, I feel like you just don't think I'm going to get it back. That's how you kind of have to treat it. But something, you know, just a little, when you know the person has it and they're not giving it back, you're like, why don't you just give me my money back, you know? And that's what some WestJet customers are waiting on refunds for their canceled flights in 2020. So people are still waiting for their refunds from flights in 2020 that were canceled due to COVID, like the original COVID, like the OG COVID. And I think that, like, I personally understand people continuing to make this a big deal. You know, honestly, I'd be in the press every day about WestJet, about my money, because I feel like there is such, how come nobody gets arrested when the company steals from you? You know what I mean? Like, if they were to steal $400 worth of anything from WestJet, those people would be arrested and then they'd be in jail and they would get their money back. But WestJet can steal your money and nobody gets arrested. It's stealing, you know, like that would be stealing. Like, you couldn't go into WestJet and take, you know, $400 worth of mini liquor bottles, you know, and just be like, I'm going to pay you back. They probably don't even say shit. They probably just keep them on the phone and just be like, hey, WestJet, I'm going to put you on hold right quick and then I'll be on back. And then the person just waits for 2 hours. They come back and like, oh shit, I didn't know you were still there. Like, that's basically what those companies do. And so these people have been waiting for 2 years to get their money. And I just feel like when it comes to companies, like, it's clear that we are on the losing end of whatever type of social contract that we have signed, you know, unwillingly signed ourselves up into. We're losing. We've lost. If you're listening to this show, you are a loser like me, because if a company steals from us, nobody goes to jail. Like, we talked about this. I wouldn't want, like, if Tim Hortons refused to give me a refund, I don't want them to arrest the cashier at Tim Hortons. This person doesn't have any power. You know, I want to see some district managers. Listen, I've worked a lot of retail, never met a district manager who was cool. You know why? Because I just don't feel like you can get to that job if you are a cool person. Because if you're a cool person, you probably have done something else. Or maybe you get to district manager and you're like, wow, my only incentives are to be a jerk. Like, I look back and I think about all of the retail jobs I had and all of the bad bosses. One, I was probably a shitty employee, because, the truth be told, being a good employee is hard. You have to willingly just ignore some parts of yourself, key parts of yourself. And if you are not constantly ignoring key parts of yourself at work to try to keep yourself sane, then you are probably not someone I'd like to hang out with. You're probably not somebody who listens to the show, because you just have to, like, I feel like for me, every day I go to work, it's a struggle, because you have to just being at work, selling your time. You just have to even if you like your job, even if you like the people you work with and you like the projects, sometimes just talking about chips, you know what I mean? Like that, like at the end of the day. And so you just kind of have to suspend yourself a little bit. And if you're at work, like, really fully bought into it and, you know, you want to make this is your life's work, listen, I understand that. Like, more power to you. I hope that makes you feel good. You can call into the radio show. You can tell people how much you love it, how much you love your job. It's nice. Anyways, sometimes we go off the path. So back in 2017, there was these two couples moved from Saskatchewan and one moved from Manitoba. They met on the internet and they decided that they wanted to live off the grid here in BC. So they moved out here and then they moved in with each other, and then they started to build out on this land, which they bought for only $65,000, which I think is, I'm like, damn, I wonder where you bought, you know, 18 acres of land for $65,000. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me. It depends on where it's at. But they started to build it out. And then obviously they got into some trouble because one of the families was dirty as hell, leaving derelict cars and just having mad parties. And I'm going to take it by this, by the look of these people, that they were polyamorous. And I'm sure that their parties were, to this other family who just, it seemed like one of these families just wanted to go out to, you know, like live their cottage core, you know, life, you know, the Instagram life. And the other one wanted to be off the grid, like more Northern Idaho style, if you know what I'm talking about. And so it seems like it's clashed. Like, and you know, it's these, I feel like you never really hear about these stories when they go good, only when they go bad. So I don't know what that says. Just me wishful thinking, because I feel like at this point, off the grid living is the only way. However, even off the grid, you feel like you can't get away from contributing to the message we have. So because, like, as we see, people want to go off the grid. So solar, you need batteries to store the energy. That batteries, those batteries are the same batteries that are made in, you know, that are in electric cars, and that are made from companies' ability to mine, particularly in environmentally vulnerable places, particularly in countries that are resource rich and infrastructure poor. And Canada makes lots of money that way. So there's been a boom in mining because they have to dig up these minerals so that they can make these batteries. And it's so crazy, right? It's so crazy. Like, this is another story. This all kinds of blends together. For me, it is so, sometimes I read things and it just makes me angry. Like, I just don't understand. Like, angry in the sense of, like, wow, we're fucked. Not like angry in the sense of, like, you know, I actually get mad and I have to, you know, some people get mad and they punch walls. Like, I don't do that, but that's what I'm thinking. Like, I don't get that type of mad. Yeah, so the, I don't know how to say it. It's these First Nations on these, I don't know, I'm getting a situation where I'm like, I don't know how to say it, so I'm not going to try, but I feel like I should, but I'm also not going to. There you can see the names on the CBC. These two First Nations are, you know, have asked the Pope to visit Kamloops Residential School and issue an apology. And sometimes I read these and I'm like, you know, you read the history. I would say everybody's read the history, but I found out last year that somebody I know didn't know the real story of Thanksgiving last year as a 30-year-old. It was kind of amazing to watch somebody be told at the first time about the real Thanksgiving, or just not even about the real Thanksgiving, or just like how Thanksgiving didn't happen like they told you in the second grade. And so we know what happened at residential schools. We know how they systematically tore apart families and, you know, tried to literally kill the culture and, I mean, the humanity of millions of people here, and done it under the name of the Catholic Church. And so the Pope, they asked the Pope to come apologize. And the sad thing is, probably no, he's not going to come apologize, even though it would be the literal least thing that the Catholic Duke could do, as they sit upon millions and billions and trillions of dollars and influence, and because they don't give a fuck. I say this as a Catholic person, or as a person. I feel like since I was confirmed Catholic, like, I did all of the things, I did all of the steps. Like, I feel like I can say it, like, as a Catholic person, even though I don't believe in it. I'm just like, but I know it, you know. They got all the money, and that's what the forefathers of the Catholic Church did. And the least they could do is come out and do an apologize. And they're not going to get it. They're not going to get the apology, you know. which is really fucking sad, but also it's like, damn, I already know they're not going to get it. This is a pessimistic show. If you listen to the show, you too know that they're not going to get it. And I see, like, here, particularly in BC, you know, you see in the newspaper lots of talk about saving the old growth forest, or saving, you know, or protests at Ferry Creek, or the protests at the pipelines to stop pipelines from crossing through, you know, important watersheds and places. And then it is, and then they frame it in the story as, you know, First Nations saving, you know, protesting sacred site. And then you read the article and the sacred site is a river. And I understand that, like, this is, we say it's the land acknowledgement at the beginning. You know, this is the land, it's unceded. You know, it's the legally, like, it's they should be the stewards of the land. Like, it's not even like kind of debatable. And people are just they're just trying to stop from polluting a river. Like, it's not like we know that rivers are important. Like, we also have understood that trees are important, and cutting down trees and then planting them, you know, planting these very homogeneous trees. Like, trees are not like a resource as much as, like, it's like the forest is a thing, you know? And so, like, it's necessary for us to survive. It's like, we know what we can do. Like, I always think it's crazy because we're not asking for much. It's like, hey, don't pollute the river. I feel like when only a few people get to benefit from the pollution of the river, we shouldn't even be polluting the river. But, you know, like, it's like, oh, yeah, well, a few miners, you know, a few people get to benefit from the pollution of the river, so we should do it, even though you can't go back from it. And so I think about this apology. It's like, at least all they can do is ask for an apology. It's like, just doing at least, like, you know, please don't pollute this river or cut down these trees. It's like, well, no, they just say no. It's like, it's so easy. Anyways, there's a BC nomad, who decided to, live on a boat, and he's finding out how it is. I'm sure that's some people's fancy, maybe, or just mine, you know. We're going to find out together how he's living when we get back. This is Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, East Arian, and check out what we got.
I know you didn't want want me to achieve nothing. I know that you hex me with yours again. I know that you have been broken and expect nothing from me. Only disappointment. I see you still cower at your power. I see you still doubt the world is ours. But I'm here to shower you with messages from higher you. In spite of you, inside of you, there's light in you and fighting you. Sorry to say, it's disappointing when I let you down, baby. I'm my own worst enemy. No one can judge me harder than I judge myself. Thoughts in the way, carry the mind heavy like a bag, baby. But I'm here to stay. This was a reason, yeah, objective knows to sell. Accessories, make room for me. You're mine. Make room for me. Be kind. You're mine. Make room for me. You're mine. Love. You're mine. You're mine. You're mine.
Back with Ultimate Path here on 101.9 CITR.ca. I'm your host, Issa Aaron. And so so there's this guy. His name is Simon. He lives on his boat. He made a turned this catamaran into they call it a solar powered sailboat, but it doesn't have any sails on here. So, you know, as a sailboat purist, it's not actual sailboat, it's just two hulls. It's just a catamaran that he made, and he uses his YouTube to make money for the year. He makes between $12,000 and $15,000 a year, and then does other side jobs to make more money. But he lives on his boat, and so, you know, he lives on Gabriel Island. So if you ever want to go, ask him how to do it. It's pretty interesting because I like how the CBC. This is called. They're doing a series called Unlocked, housing stories of young Canadians, and it's like this is a story you can only do in BC, where like the housing has gotten so out of whack that it is, you know, people got to get creative, and so like is you got to get creative when there's so many empty units. Okay, so now we're gonna get to the funny stories. And the kind of funny and the kind of sad stories. So I feel like there's been two people who really have dominated the news in the past few months. You know, it's Elon Musk and, you know, Pete Davidson. I would say, you know, Vladimir Putin has obviously dominated news, and Joe Biden, you know, these people. But just the other day, Elon Musk, you know, I just could not imagine having hundreds of billions of dollars and tweeting all the time, you know, just like tweeting really just random bullshit. Like, I mean, obviously, well, maybe he's not doing it, but I just couldn't imagine. Anyways, he tweeted that he would challenge Vladimir Putin to one-on-one combat by death. I feel like there's going to come a point, which it probably is already here, where like, people like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos are so rich that they can have their own armies, you know? I mean, the city of New York's police budget is bigger than all but 17 countries. I think the United States, the NYPD and Mexico spend about the same. Like if you look at Mexico's military and the United States and NYPD's police, that's insane. The United States spends by far the most on police, and we have by far the most culture is just of straight violence. Anyways, like when Elon Musk gets his own army and he's got the Boston Dynamics robots and he's, doing whatever he wants, it's just like, what are we doing here? You know, where are we at? And it doesn't have to be this way, but it's just, it's kind of sad. And then Pete Davidson, this dude is going to the moon. Well, going to like the edge of Earth on Blue Origin's flight. So if you don't know, that's Jeff Bezos. So these people already have, they don't need a military because they have access to, you know, United States military police officers. So they can do what they want. They can crack down on unions and they can steal from their customers, steal from their own employees, but also not be arrested. We can talk about that forever. But I feel like at this point, I think Pete Davidson might be an agent, you know. Just here taking up space, you know what I mean? This is something that I think maybe potentially be a little controversial. The Pfizer CEO says a fourth COVID-19 vaccination dose will be needed. Now, you know me. You've been listening to the show for a few months, maybe a few years. You know that I believe in COVID. I believe it's a thing. Also believe that these pharmaceutical companies are also trying to just make as much money as possible, because I could just only imagine how, like, I think back on the beginning of COVID, you're just like, wow, if you'd have just thought, I would like to set up a testing facility, what do I need to do that? And then you look at the testing facilities now and you realize that, listen, every single testing facility I've been to has had people working there who I'm sure would have, it's not nurses and doctors and working in there. You know, these people didn't go to school for years for, you know, epidemiology or the study of diseases so they can test for COVID-19. They're just regular ass people swabbing your nose, putting a stick in the other thing and spinning it around and looking at the colors. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they're doing. And if you could have set up a testing facility, you could have been rich. Like, you could be wealthy right now if I would have set up a testing facility. I wouldn't have to make a blood sacrifice so I can get a house. I would just be able to get one. Anyways, the Pfizer CEO says we need a fourth dose. Now, this man is clearly trying to take my money. Simply for the fact that, like, I don't believe we've gotten to the point in capitalism where you couldn't go to the CEO of a professional basketball team and trust that this person actually knew about basketball, because we have turned everything into like the financialization of what it is. Like, I wouldn't go to there's plenty of basketball teams where you just say, like, can you evaluate this person as a basketball player? You know, no, they cannot tell you about basketball. They can just tell you about algorithms and how to make money and how to spend the least money and how to be efficient. Now, so for this, I imagine that the CEO of Pfizer probably makes a little bit more money than the CEO of a basketball team, even though we think of basketball as, you know, those like high paying, probably makes this, you know, I don't think that this person is not a doctor. This person went to some business school. I don't even want to look him up. This person is not. Actually, let's look him up right now. who's the CEO of Pfizer, do you think he went to business school or do you think he went to medical school? Or do you think we think he's a lawyer? Let's say. Education. Well, this man used to be a veterinarian, so I'm going to count that as he is not a doctor. And I just don't, I mean, I probably do need a fourth dose, but I don't want the CEO telling me that. Like, have the chief medical officer come out and tell me that. You used to work on dogs, and now you want to tell me about me. No, thank you. One thing I think is crazy is just how long it takes for like the United States government or really any government to get anything done, except for when it comes to stupid shit. When stupid shit, they can get it off quickly, quick as hell. They can write a stupid law about something stupid in a day. They can get a stupid holiday passed in a day. Listen, we got Juneteenth, a federal holiday, off. Nobody even asked for it. That was not even the thing that people were asking for in 2020. Not one person, I mean, clearly maybe one person, but nobody was saying seriously, like, hey, in lieu of racial justice, we will take a federal holiday. A federal holiday that doesn't even help black people for real, because black people work at jobs overwhelmingly where federal holidays do not matter to the employers. Anyways, but when it comes to stupid shit, they could pass it quickly. Senate today unanimously approved a bill that seeks to make daylight savings permanent. Something that, yeah, okay, people don't like daylight savings. They complain about it all the time on the internet. But the Senate can do that quickly. Senate can also, like Joe Biden, ban imports of Russian diamonds, vodka, and seafood. They can do that as well very quickly when they want to do something. But when it comes to doing anything for the people, makes it very difficult to pass anything. It took over 12 months to get $600 from the United States government during a pandemic where you couldn't go out and work. Doesn't make any sense. I don't understand how we don't watch like what's going on and see that it feels like very similar to 20 years ago. It's like, okay, we don't got shit going on. We know there's a bubble coming because you know there's a bubble coming with the fake inflation that we got. It's like, you know, there's a bubble coming and going right back to war. It is feeling very 2000-esque, you know? Two things before I send you off into a nice song before we go. Men, stop it. Stop. Listen, just read the story. So there's a story on the internet. As a New York City woman was arrested Tuesday after she allegedly lured a man on Instagram with a date, kidnapped him, tortured him, and demanded a $100,000 ransom from the victim's brother. 21-year-old Valerie Rosario kidnapped an unidentified 24-year-old man after getting him to enter a Bronx apartment where the man came in, two other men waiting with weapons, and beat him up. Listen, men, dudes, stop being so thirsty on the internet that you walk into a random woman's apartment that you don't know, that you met on the internet, and not expect to rob you. Like, I feel like, yeah, the man shouldn't have got robbed, but also, you shouldn't have walked in that apartment. What are you doing? Stop being so thirsty just to try to, you know what I'm saying? Stop being so thirsty just to try to get your winky wet. You know, you got to think about these types of things because, listen, not all scams, are, you know, digital tradition. You know, some scams are of the old school tradition with metal pipes and luring you into a hotel room and beating on your ass. Men, also be careful about your politics and expressing those, because a 21-year-old woman allegedly to have stabbed a man amid sexual activity in Nevada as revenge for a U.S. drone strike that killed Iran's General Qasem Soleimani. She met him on a dating site, and I think the man was in the military, and she wanted revenge in connection for the drone strike. She's now facing charges for attempted murder. But also, hey, like I said, dude, stop being so thirsty that you're out here putting yourself at risk. It's not good. But anyways, you want to hear how shitty the United States is? You want to hear sometimes where I just shake my head and it's just like, God damn. And listen, Canada, we've already talked about y'all today. So, in North Carolina, a superintendent issued an apology after parents learned that a mock slave auction involving white middle school students selling their black classmates took place at a school, J.S. Waters in Chatham County, North Carolina. Now, could you imagine, parents, today, at this very moment, in all over North America, are saying that it is too early to, like, when is too early? Even liberals. This is not just conservative parents. You know, when is too early to talk to my kid about racism? You know, people who you think are nice or are allies, you know, people, when is it too early to talk to my student about racism when you have kids in middle school doing fake slave auctions? Like, and the problem is if one of those black kids had choked out one of the white kids doing that, they'd suspend the black kid. And I know because that happens all the time. Anyways, so if you think it, talking about racism, if you think that adults talk about racism too much, just kids are having mock slave auctions at school. Imagine what type of adults those kids are going to grow up to be. Anyways, we do this every Tuesday here, 10 to 11. I'm your host, Issa Arian. Listen, Tuesdays nights is full of good shit. You got Crimes and Treasons from 8 to 10, Off the Beaten Path, 10 to 11. And then you have Nice Vibes coming up next. Till next time, I'm out.
Heavy bass in the background from Roper. Hands tied, stuck. Clams fried up. Glass of Andre. Fresh made clam chowder. Reply for seasoning. Uneven again. Enjoys guideline time. Retreated within. Grants with the ghost. Red carpet treatment. As I stand with the pole. I like the chills. Walking elegant high. I'm one hell of a guy. Fly pelican fly. I like the chills. Walking elegant.
Like that shit.
I'm one hell of a fly pelican.
Yeah, don't get touched, wise in a rush. Shorty got a crush, I'ma crush up the Girl Scout. Dipped out, left one inside your girl's mouth. Burst out with the truth like a courtroom. Stack money till I see what the Porsche do. You bite, then we taking action, not a lawsuit. Why I never take a loss, at least no more. Closed doors, keeping calm, what I'm known for. I see mad pain, but we stay gaining. Make